So I'm going to start with a poem here. It might be a poem you recognize. So let's see how many of you know the poet. The horizon leans forward, offering you space to place new steps of change here on the pulse of this fine day. You may have the courage to look up and out and upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country, no less to Midas than the mendicant, no less to you now than the mastodon then, and say simply with hope, good morning. Does that ring a bell? Maya? Angelou? Right? Huh. Maya? Angelou. Yeah. Good morning. Yeah. So, just thought that would be a nice poem to start a beautiful day. And it is here in Cadillac. Scripture reading, and thank you, Sue, for sharing your reading earlier. It's, of course, the popular and very well-known multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Jesus climbs the mountain after this, and then he is up there on the mountain, and then there's a big storm. So now we're focusing on a group of people stranded in a boat in the storm, and Jesus, he's just left the multitudes, and he now moves on the surface of the water to calm the storm and to renew the faith of these boat people. Whenever I think of Jesus moving along the sea, walking on the water, I think of, for some reason, and I can't get this image out of my head, shows you where I'm at, I just think of Peter Sellers walking on water in a movie called Being There. But get that image out of your head. Let's go back to the scripture reading. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And then when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning. He was walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. They cried out, for they all saw him. They were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So what's up with all of these miracle images, multiplication of the loaves and the fish, climbing mountains, walking on the sea in the middle of a storm? So let's begin with water. We learned in high school, or at least some of us, I was usually distracted. I was a space cadet. But in biology and chemistry, we learned that most of our bodies are made up of water. Water for us is absolutely necessary for our survival. It is said that a person can go maybe 60 days without solid food before dying, but only 7 days without water. I should add, for us who thankfully live in the beautiful state of Michigan, how necessary it is for all of us to have fresh water. A number of us spent our lives this past summer around, next to, on, or in water. We've been sailing, kayaking, whitewater rafting, motor boating, canoeing, tubing, water skiing, or cruising around some lake or sea or ocean. We love boating or fishing or just enjoying the sights of Lake Cadillac, Lake Mitchell, any of the small lakes in the upper, lower West Peninsula, Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, Lake Huron, Lake Erie. All of these lakes touch upon the beautiful state of Michigan, save one, Ontario. New York and the Canadians get that one. Indeed, we Michiganders are lucky people to live here with the lower and upper peninsula, the home of four of the greatest lakes in the entire world. The lakes have been a mysterious source of destruction and creation, death and life, sadness and joy, futility and inspiration. There are stories about Lake Superior and Lake Michigan and the great storms that have destroyed ships and lives. We who reside here, we are lake people, and we who are ministers in Michigan have the gift of easy sermon water metaphors, and I do it all the time. And we are a compassionate people here in Michigan. We must empathize with those in the southern part of our country who have experienced life-threatening floods from hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and now we have Maria. Maria. I urge all of you today to give, during the offering time, make a contribution to those in Puerto Rico especially, and other places too, who have suffered from Maria and other hurricanes, but particularly Maria at this time. That would be very helpful. Just make your offering out to the First Congregational Church. 100% of what you give will go to help those affected by Maria. Beyond our United States, floods and tsunamis have been a regular experience for so many around the world. We are not alone in this experience, though we may talk about being a sovereign, independent, and self-sustaining nation. Whether we like it or not, accept it or not, those of us living here must graciously and diligently do what we can for those living in the Middle and South America below us and the North America above us. We are not some island fighting it out for ourselves, but we must work together with other lands and other peoples. If we must use the metaphor of island, let us speak of our planet in space, which really is one island among many. Speaking of islands surrounded by water, years ago I remember watching just a few episodes of one of these early reality TVs shows. It was called Survivor. How many of you remember that show? Because when I think about it, okay, I saw just a few. I didn't watch it the whole series, all right? But come on up, Ralph. You can finish this. What did you think? I agree. It was a total... Okay, I'm going to need your help with this because I just saw a few episodes of some of the food they were eating, you know, to survive, some of the crazy stuff. You know, it was patterned after a Swedish game show, and it those Swedes. Yeah, all those people named Anderson and everything else, you know. Just go to Tustin, all those Swedes. Anyway, moving back, Sweden, they gave up the comforts of their lives to live in community on an island, surviving through their skills, experiences, through their wits and instincts. So think of it, 8 men, 8 women. It was a reality TV show where regular people encountered and overcame certain challenges. Now, in this case, the challenge involved voting other people off the island and only one person would be left. That person would win $1 million. One might wonder what kinds of community bonds were possible between people stranded on an island, knowing that they would vote fellow islanders off until only one remained. Well, the show focused on eating a variety of foods, most of which none of us would ever allow in our refrigerators, or at least I wouldn't. There were also these physical games where those who were not in the best shape, they just didn't have a chance. Psychologically speaking, there were mental games involving backbiting, teaming up against others, false friendships. What we often witnessed were unfair decisions. Sometimes the best and the brightest were voted off the island. And likewise, the kindest or the most compassionate individual didn't have a chance. Those with integrity and even those with who were more essential to the survival of the group, they often were sent off the island too. The one who typically remained was the person who was agreeable, who wouldn't stand up for the truth, possibly the most popular. Maybe that was its attraction, why it engaged so many people years ago and is so applicable today. Immigration is an issue in our country, and so how many of us want to vote people off of our island here in the United States? There are, after all, so many people all over the world who have no more hope or promise for life than that they are not voted off our little island, Earth. Some fear for their undocumented children and hope the promise embodied in young lives still has a vote. Some in our world fear that because of who they are, whether black or indigenous or poor or disabled or LGBTQ, they may not continue to have a home here on our island. Yes, it's a, I call it a human eat human sort of world in which we live, and survivor is how it feels for so many, because we certainly can't have everyone here in this boat, otherwise we'll sink. But that's not us, is it? We will not vote people off our Cadillac cruiser, our love boat in this community of faith. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are not only welcome here, but you are needed here. Our new members this morning bring many gifts to our congregation, and we are here with open minds and hearts and spirits so as to be receptive to what they can teach us. Ed and Tim, you are now the teachers, you see. You didn't know that, but you are. They have made their decision to join, I suppose, because of our example, the many ways we live and act towards others in open and affirming and inclusive and welcoming ways. They have said, we want to hang out with people who don't vote anyone off our island. We're saved together or not at all. That takes me to this personal Jesus thing, where one must accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Now, what in the world does that have to do with loving God and loving neighbor? Personal salvation means I get to survive in this mean and nasty water world while others drown. But in this love boat, we're saved together, or not at all. Whether it's our religion or another, or none at all, isn't the whole point of our survival. It's to be hand in hand, arm in arm. Look at the cover of your bulletins. to love and care for one another with the resources at our disposal, our many talents and our many gifts that we share. And as much as we may believe that resources are limited, our religion teaches us otherwise. And yes, Jesus teaches us otherwise too. It isn't about limits and boundaries. It's about abundance. The religious in the time of Jesus distinguished themselves by fasting, by what they gave up. The followers of the Pharisees gave up food and drink. They fasted. They were expressing an age-old understanding of religion and life, that life is something we survive, and religion is about giving up certain things to survive it. But Jesus gives us a new view of life and of religion. Life is like a wedding banquet, and religion, it's about abundance. For Jesus, life is a celebration, not just something to survive, but a feast, a banquet, a gift to be enjoyed. Religion is about cultivating the human spirit so that every moment is a relationship, a sharing of community. The sharing, it was exemplified by Jesus and his disciples as the multitudes were abundantly fed by what food had originally seemed so limited. That faith calmed the waters as Jesus joined the disciples there in the boat. So as we celebrate our new members, think of this sanctuary as a love boat, a vessel with many different people worshiping together, sailing without compass. As we sail, remember that all worship, whether it is on Sunday morning or sometime during the week, or on special liturgical occasions, or with our music festivals, or with memorials, funerals, weddings, baptisms. Remember that all of these worship celebrations are not about giving up, but adding to. It's multiplication. The expression, less is more, is replaced with the expression, more is more. After all, we're talking about the multiplication of loaves and fish and of water, endless love in this faithful boat we call First Congregational United Church of Christ here in Cadillac. Jesus taught us that to survive, the human spirit needs to be free to expand and embrace, to abundantly love and forgive, and to extravagantly welcome everyone to this island and space we call our home. Amen.